Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast. This is Pastor Derry. During the month of September, ALWC is celebrating our church anniversary with a series of guest pastors ministering during our Sunday morning services. Today, we received a message from Pastor Ron Nelson from Progressive Faith International Church of Sacramento, California. Pastor Nelson ministered a message titled, The Revelation of Jesus, Pressing On to Perfection. This message was a dynamic blessing to the congregation, and it will be for you as well. Listen in, and I'll talk to you at the end of the broadcast.
To speak the oracles of God. We thank you for the blessing of the Lord being on his life, and we thank you for the flow of your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. If you love God, let's put our hands together and give the Lord a hand of praise. Praise God. The song said death. You guys didn't understand that, huh? Death could not hold him down. Amen. I'm so grateful and thankful today to be in the house of worship again. I thank God for being amongst my Abundant Life family, to the angel of this house, Pastor Derry and Sister Tammy. Amen. Let's give your pastors a big hand of praise. Praise God. Also, I want to thank God for all of the family and friends that are here that make up Abundant Life. So many of you count so dear to our hearts. Amen. We love you all. I won't start calling you by name, but I can tell you this, that we know who you are, and you know how we feel about you. Abundant Life, let's give yourselves a hand of praise. Amen. That's better. I thought I was going to be hollering up here in a little while. Amen. So we thank God for all of you that are here today. 4 years is a long time doing this. Amen. I thank God for the vision and for the visionary. And you guys are doing such a wonderful job here. Every time I come, every year you've changed something. You've made it better. It just looks so beautiful and warm and wonderful in here. To all of you that are laboring and actually working, we thank God for you and for your contributions that support the ministry and the vision of the visionary. One more time, let's give the Lord a hand praise for that. I thank God for those that have come this morning with me to my lovely wife. Amen. Just give them a little wave. Amen. My helpmate, amen, God chose the right one for me. Amen. If you knew me, you knew he chose the right one. Amen. So we thank God for her. I thank God for Pastor Keisha and her ministry. Give her a big hand. Amen. We have started something at Progressive Faith that I urge you to do. I've talked to Pastor Derry, and, you know, God gives each and every one of us a sound. Amen. He gives each and every one of us a sound. We have an individual sound as well as a corporate sound. And individually, we make a sound that only permeates to the ears of God. And when that sound goes forth, it permeates and it gives God joy. Now, there's a corporate sound also. And when that corporate sound goes, then when praises go up, blessings come down. And so what we've started doing, and the Lord has impressed upon us, is when we start service, we start in worship. And what our worship is the musicians start playing and we start worshiping. Amen. Because God has given us our own sound. So we don't need to sing somebody else's song, because God has given us a song. And however long that goes, that's how long it goes. And if it's a need to sing a song that's already been done, then we come back behind that. But I'm here to tell you, I'm here to pour out my heart to you this morning. Can I do that? I'm here to pour out my heart because this is a sister church to me. I love this couple. I love the members of this church. I love what God is doing here. And I want to share with you what God has put in my heart for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I be myself? Amen. I thank God that Mother Deborah, one of our mothers, has come with. Wave your hand, Mother. Mother won't let me go nowhere without her coming. Amen. It's good to see Aunt Susan here today. God bless you. And my sister, amen, Sister Henry, God bless you. You know I love you to death. And my brother and my sister and daughter, the Dorsey family. Wave your hand. Amen. They live here in Vallejo. They are founding members of Progressive Faith. If it were not for them and what God placed in their heart, then we wouldn't be in existence today. But how many know that highway's treacherous? Amen. And so I've advised them to make this their church. Amen. And so if the Lord say the same, and the Lord speak to them the same way, then I'm releasing them into this pastoral team's hand. Amen. I love them too much to see them beat up on the highway. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, I'm finna get into this. Amen. I've got a word from the Lord. I believe God really wants to speak to you. I want to stay in concert with the theme of this anniversary, Kingdom Connection. Amen. But I got to do it my way. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew. And it's always good to see Carl, my good friend from way, way back. We were much slimmer when we met. Amen. Hallelujah. We were guards then, point guards. Now we're pulling forwards. Amen. Amen. We can block for somebody now. Amen. Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to use two different verses. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. And then we'll close out with Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2 will be the end, but I'm just going to start in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. If you can, would you please stand? We stand out of reverence for God's word. Amen. Amen. You'll find this in your reading. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" I want to use for a topic in the lead into our discussion this morning. I want to talk about the revelation of Jesus into perfection. The revelation of Jesus. You can be seated. The revelation of Jesus into perfection. Amen. You know, there are many different ideals and ideologies of who this Christ Jesus was. There are many that would suggest to you that he was just a man. There are some that would suggest to you that he was a prophet. There are some that would suggest to you that he was just Joseph's son, a carpenter. Others will suggest to you that he was the Christ, the Son of God. Many different religions will identify him in the things that he did and claim to do by view of their ideologies. The Mormons have their picture of Jesus. The Jehovah Witnesses have their picture of Jesus. And many more of the different religions that face us in this world have their own ideologies of who this man, Christ Jesus, was. Many make and take exception to that which we hold true as his immaculate conception. Then there are those that talk about the miracles that he did and the impossibilities of the miracles that he did. Others speak about the resurrection that we claim that Jesus took part in. Amen. His ascension. And so there are many different things that are said about this God-man, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. But in chapter 16, it's a very interesting chapter because it deals with the revelation of who Christ is. See, for many of us, we have an idea of who Christ is. He's our Santa Claus. The only thing he is for us is someone to pray to when we want something. For others of us, amen, he's our get out of jail card. Hey, hello, am I talking to somebody in here? Father, I'm talking about the church now. There's a distinct ideal that Jesus represents many things, but I want to stop and I want to ask you today, who is Jesus to you? I want to give you a revelation of the man, Christ Jesus. In chapter 16, we notice that as the chapter begins, very interestingly enough, before we get to the scriptures of note, there's a conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees and the Sadducees approach Jesus with a question. The question is, can you show us a sign from heaven? Amen. Jesus' response is quite startling for some of us that take to the ideologies that the Pharisees were the spiritual leaders of Israel. Until you take note of what Jesus himself says about the Pharisees, Jesus makes very stark and aggressive statements about the Pharisees. He says that, amen, that the Pharisees are blind guides. He calls them fools. He calls them devils. Amen. He says they be of their father. Amen. The devil. Jesus has a very aggressive approach to whom the Pharisees identify themselves as. Here in Matthew chapter 16, he calls them immediately hypocrites. Amen. He calls them hypocrites because he says to them that you can discern. Amen. It's a great gift to have the ability to discern. Amen. But the question that you have to ask yourself is, by whose power are you discerning what you're discerning? You see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were not a God-made-up group. Much like today, it was a group of individuals that decided that they were the elite of the tribe of Israel. During the Babylonian captivity, they decided that they were better than the rest of Israel. So they made up a group, amen, that they would term the Pharisees. God did not call the Pharisees. God called, amen, the Levites to be the priests of Israel. But here they were. They usurped their way through the bondage that was happening to the nation of Israel. Some years later, they had taken position of the Levites as the spiritual leaders. But Jesus, knowing, amen, the incept of their beginning, realizing that, In secret, they were worshipers of the Babylonian pathology. They were worshipers of the Babylonian gods. And in secret, they would worship the Babylonian gods. But in public, that they would worship the five books of the Pentateuch and those sayings of the prophets. Jesus knew who they were. I'm here to tell you, you better be careful who it is that you're following. You better be careful about what it is that folks say in public, but how they act in private. The beliefs that they have in private and not the beliefs that they portray in public. The Kabbalah and the Talmud would be the book that the Pharisees would eventually write after the death of Jesus. But here we see that he calls them hypocrites. He said, you can discern disguise. You can tell when it's going to be a sunny day. You can tell, hallelujah, when it's going to rain. You can tell when the storms are coming in life. But you're not able, listen here, dear hearts, you're not able to discern the signs of the times. Amen. I wouldn't follow a leader that can't discern the signs of the time. Here it is, Jesus began a tirade on these that asked him this particular question. He then called them a wicked and an adulterous generation, because you're seeking a sign. Hallelujah. I'm the only sign that you need. I'm the only. Hallelujah. I wish you say something to me. I'm the only one. Hallelujah. That you need right now. Hallelujah. You don't need a sign, but here it is. He said that the only sign that's going to be given is that of the prophet Jonah. You remember him? Amen. A storm and a fish. Amen. That's all that's going to happen when you ask me about a sign and your heart's not right. You don't accept me for who I am. You don't acknowledge me for who I am. As a matter of fact, you don't even preach what I preach. You don't teach what I teach. I sent before me forerunners, and hallelujah, you killed them, you murdered them, you stoned them, you ran them out of town, and now you're asking the manifestation of the sum total of it all. You're asking me for a sign. I've got a sign for you. I'm preparing a storm and a fish. Notice the next thing that he says to them. We're talking about the revelation of Jesus. If there was anybody that should have known who he was, it should have been those that were studying, hallelujah, his coming. They spent time studying. They were the learned of the people of Israel. They were those that you would call the intelligent or the articulate. They sat in the Moses seats. They wore the finest garments. They looked the part. Amen. But here it is. They had no idea of who they were speaking to, because they needed a sign. Jesus then says this to his disciples, Brother Edwards. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Earlier, we know that it was said that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Amen. It don't take but a little bit of poison to mess up, hallelujah, God's people. You got to be careful, hallelujah, who you put in front of the people God to charge you with. You got to be careful the assignments you give out. You got to be careful, amen, hallelujah. You might have somebody, hallelujah, that need a sign, amen. And the only sign they need is back door. I'm not going to say that in here. I say that at home, but I won't say that in here. He said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Hallelujah. Howbeit that the disciples didn't understand. They believed that he was again talking about the feeding of the multitudes. But he was not talking about their feeding, but he was talking about the doctrine. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you not know that if you don't know who Jesus really is, you can't properly talk about him? You can't talk about what you don't know about. Have you ever had to stay on your knees all night long and pray? Have you ever had to call on Jesus to heal your body? Have you ever had to call on God to send you somebody to get you out of what you got yourself into? Do you got any midnight oil time? Hallelujah. Have you ever had to put in practice what you preach? Hallelujah. The Pharisees had no idea of who Jesus was because they asked him about a sign. He said, you got to beware of these kind. Look at your neighbor and say, beware of these kind. Ah, you look like you're scared of your neighbor. Look the other way. Say, you got to beware of these kind. The Bible says that Jesus took off in a ship to the coast of Caesarea of Philippi. And when he got to the coast, he asked the question. He said, whom do men say that I am? It's very interesting, Pastor Derry. Amen. The answers that you can get in a church about who Jesus is. Amen. It's very interesting because when you listen to conversation, the conversation offline tell you who they believe Jesus is. You see, Jesus is not something that you wear on Sunday. Hallelujah. Christianity is not something that you pick up just when you open your Bible. Do you understand that the revelation of who Christ is a lifestyle that we live? There's nobody worthy enough to take Jesus' spot in your life. There's nobody fine enough. There's nobody handsome enough to walk you away from God. You got to understand and have a revelation of who Jesus was. And let me just park and just say this. You leave this world, somebody gonna sleep in your house. You leave this world, somebody gonna wear your clothes. And I don't want to break your heart and start an argument in your home. But you leave this world, somebody gonna be with your wife or your husband. They not gonna stay any longer when you leave, somebody moving in. That's why we don't allow anything to come into the place. Oh, I know I've got some witnesses in here. Hello, somebody. Y'all looking at me funny, but you know I'm telling the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all didn't move Johnny out and Jimmy in. The revelation of who Christ is. Hallelujah. Pastor Derry, can you come here for a minute? Come on up here, brother. Come on up here, Brother Edwards. Come on up here, brother. Can y'all stand out here for me? Just stand out here and face them. You see, the revelation of who Jesus is a mind that stays on Christ at all times. Now, I know that somebody's out here looking at these big, strong, good-looking men, and your mind then went in the wrong place. You done forgot everything that I'm preaching. All you see is muscles and good looks. Amen. That's why you got to be able to identify who Jesus is. Thank you, gentlemen. Hallelujah. Give them a hand of praise. If not for a moment, I know your mind just left you. Some of y'all come in church every Sunday morning, amen, disgusted with what you bringing in, looking at what somebody else done brought. Can I be myself? Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Can't you hear the clamor that's going on in the midst of the disciples? 12 disciples, 12 ready to give an answer. Shouting out with no order. You hear them say, some say John the Baptist. Oh, can you hear all 12 speaking? Some say Elijah. and some say Jeremiah. But Pastor, Jesus has a way of putting you on the spot. Jesus has a way of making you tell the truth. You can't hide what's really in your heart and what you really believe. He turns to them and say, well, whom do you say that I am? Silence went over the room. Confusion went into the minds of 11. But here's the cusser. Here's the one that acted up. Here's the one that would deny him. Here's the one that a few pages later, hallelujah, would challenge him. He stood up with his voice and said, thou art the Christ. Y'all know Peter. Hallelujah. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. You know what I like so much about Jesus? Jesus don't have an identity problem. If you want to know who Jesus is, just listen to what we say he was. Jesus says, I am the door. He is not, hallelujah, the sum total of the location. He says, I'm the door. Hallelujah. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Amen. See, the problem that we have is we're still calling on Jesus to do things that God has not placed for Jesus to do. Jesus came to destroy, hallelujah, the works of the enemy, to abolish sin, to empower you, to give you back your dominion, and now he's sitting down. You calling on him to heal you, he said, I did that already. It's on the cross. Did you hear him say it? It's finished. You're calling on him to restore your relationship. He said, it's finished. You're calling on him, hallelujah, to get your mind right. He said, I took care of mind issues on the cross. Everything that I needed to do. But I said to you that I wouldn't leave you comfortless, that I would leave you a comforter. Somebody need to start calling on God. The Father will send the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will deal with you in every level that you need. You can't get a prayer through because you're still praying to Jesus. If you saved, Jesus deals with salvation issues. If your salvation issue has been done, then you need to start praying to God Father. Then what he said, I want you to pray after this manner, our Father, which are, you need to listen to what Jesus himself said. You need to pray to the Father and the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost that he used in the book of Genesis to set in the place the wheels that would take care of darkness. When it said that darkness was on the face of the deep, but the Spirit of God moved. You need to understand, you need to buy my book, it'll be out in 3 weeks. The Spirit of God moves in dark places. Look at your neighbor and tell him the Spirit of God moves in dark places. Now I want you to see how Jesus is restoring what the devil stole. The very first thing that Jesus did in verse 17, Jesus answered to the question and to the answer of the question. And the very first thing he said is blessed. Oh, y'all missed that. Sister Rhonda, the very first thing Jesus did when Peter acknowledged who he was he blessed him. Oh, yeah. The very first thing was a blessing. When God created man, he created he, him, male and female. And the very next thing he did was he blessed them. Do you know that when you're in right standing with God, you are a blessed man or woman. Automatically, blessings are in your DNA. You asking for stuff you already got, honey child, cuz you need to stand up and walk in what the word of God has already said. You's a bad man. You's a bad woman. You need to start calling those things that be not as though they were. You need to start speaking stuff, standing up in it, waiting on the promise of God, not wavering. Just give me a few more minutes. It said bless. The very next thing that God does when you are restored to him is he's going to change your name. Do you know that? You no longer a thief. You no longer a homemonger. You no longer alcoholic. You no longer a drug addict. Amen. Those are things that you did. But that's not who I am. Because I'm a child of God now. I'm a part of the beloved. God has changed my name. And because he changed, look what he said. He said, thou art Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So he's saying that immediately upon the confession, you get a name change. That's why you see exes that are now preachers. That's why you see exes that are now ushers and deacons. That, matter of fact, everybody in here is an ex. You just won't give your testimony. You afraid that folk gonna look at you funny because you handsome and fine right now. Amen. But there was a time you didn't look like that, didn't talk like that, didn't act like that. As a matter of fact, there was a time you like that ripple. I'm going back on some folk. Johnny Walker. Y'all know about that, huh? It was a time that you did those things. Amen. But thank God for a name change. Thank God for a blessing. I'm talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ into perfection. Now listen here. A couple more things and I'm going to get to a close. He says that thou art Peter now, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Upon the confession that you've made, I'm gonna build on confessions. Do you know God builds on confessions? Hello, God builds on confessions. And notice what it says here is that heroin won't work with you no more. That alcohol can't hold you no more. That pornography can't hold you no more. Because I blessed you, changed your name, and put in you something that's much greater. Abundant life, you can never be what God is calling for you to be until you understand who you are and who Jesus is. You're still praying for things that God has already destroyed and abolished. God wants to take you higher. God, look at your name and say, God wants to take you higher. And let me tell you something. God wants to take you higher, and he can't do it without you. Oh, God, I can't give you this. It's too heavy. I just can't. Spiritual maturity gives you the control of the assets of the kingdom. Do you guys realize that? I'm finna walk a little bit right now. I was tap dancing. Can y'all handle it? Spiritual maturity. If you're still wrestling with cigarettes, you're not mature. If you can't look at one of these beautiful women in here and see your sister, you're not mature. If you go home and you're watching all this soft porn on TV, you're not mature. Can I tell you the truth? Hello, somebody. If your boss calls you and you land at home tired and you say you sick, you ain't mature. Hello, somebody. Spiritual maturity enables us to be able to handle and access the things of the kingdom. All right, I'm finna get into it, and we finna get out of here. Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse 12. Listen to what it says. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Can I tell you what he's saying here? He said, we are no longer living in a time where your degrees matter. We are no longer living in a time where your rhetorical memory matters. You know people that can quote scripture from front cover to back cover, can tell you every story in the Bible. We're living in a time where your talent don't matter. It doesn't matter that you can run the scales in a song. It doesn't matter that you can preach as eloquent as an angel. When you don't know the God of the Bible, none of this stuff matters. You shall know a tree by the fruit that it bears. We're still, the church as a general, is still wrestling in salvation issues. We're still wrestling in salvation issues. God tried to make it very clear to us when he told Moses, I want you to go out and build me a tabernacle in the wilderness. He says that the first room in the tabernacle, hallelujah, is going to be the outer court. The second room is going to be the inner court. And the third room is going to be the Holy of Holies. Honey, child, there are levels to this. There are levels to this. The very first room, the very first court, was the biggest court. And this is where the animals were slain. And the blood was used for the propitiation or substitution of the sin of the individual. This was where blood was being slung all over the place. And I still hear people pleading the blood of Jesus like as if his blood didn't work the first time. We're pleading the blood in prayer. When he said it was finished, he dropped his blood and it was all that was necessary. So we got folk that are still in salvation. They've been in salvation 20 and 30 years because they'll still cuss you out. They still smoke their cigarettes. They still hide with a fifth behind the medicine cabinet at the house. Can I tell the truth in here? And then the second court is where the Holy Spirit would fall. And that's a beautiful place to have the Holy Spirit. You speak in tongues. You can lay hands on people. You can be used for the administration of the gospel. But honey, child, there's another level. God has never intended for you to stay at that level. Because there's another place. It's called the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, the only one that can walk in there is one that's righteous. The priests wouldn't even, hallelujah, trust it. They had to tie bells around their legs with ropes because they didn't know if they had secret sin in their lives. And we walk around as if God don't know what we're doing. And we say God's ready to take us higher. God can't take you no higher, hallelujah, than your faith in him will allow him. We're living in the last days. Then he tried to tell us again with the feast. There were three feasts. That were the main feast. Hallelujah. Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Passover was the place in which the blood was used. Are you getting the picture? The blood was sprinkled on the doorpost, and the death angel passed by. Hallelujah. But then, hallelujah, there was the day of Pentecost when in unity and the one that God appointed stood up, that the spirit fell and was introduced to this world. But then there's the other one, hallelujah, and the other one represents the presence and the totality of God. Passover, Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacle, the outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies. But then there's one more when he describes us. He calls us little children, young men, and then fathers. He says that we're little children because we found God. He says that you're young men because you've overcome. Hallelujah, and your words are strong. But listen, what he calls a father is somebody that knows him. We're talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ unto perfection. If you still worried about what you wear when you come to church and you can't bow down to the name of God, you're still in the outer court. If you can't get out of your systematic worship, you're still in the outer court. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For such are the ones that he seeketh. Honey, we're in a different day. You all in. All out. I need y'all Bibles on. Whether y'all got it up here, because y'all not going to believe what I'm finna say to you. And I got it in a sentence right here in this word. Chapter 6, verse 2, and I'm closing. It says, therefore. Now, he's talking about spiritual maturity, and I've already talked to you about levels. This is going to change your life or mess you up. It says, therefore, leaving. Is that what it said? I don't want none of these other translations. I want King James. It says, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Heresy. Who says that we're supposed to leave the principles and doctrines of Christ? God does. Because there's a level that God has allowed you to reach that's beyond the principles and the doctrines whereby you operate under. You think I'm playing with you? I'm going to read the verbatim in here. He says, leaving the principles and doctrines of Christ, let us go on into perfection. Don't it say that? Not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead and of faith toward God and of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of the eternal judgment. This will we do if God permits. Let me break this down to what he's saying. He's saying that there's a level that if you are seeking and desiring it, that your level is above the fundamental, rudimentary roots of what Christianity is. You will still operate in them because you operate in the church. And there will be those in the church that are immature that causes you to still operate. But you yourself will operate on a different level. Are you still with me? Laying not again the foundations of repentance from dead works. I got to go back to a scripture and show you this. Because something was said in a message that I heard that stirred me up. And I didn't know what it was until I found what I was looking for. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. It says, "Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed in repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation." And I was messed up because I kept wondering, and I'm finna close. I kept wondering, why are we still throwing around this word repentance if we're saved? When the new covenant says that we don't operate under those. Can I read it to you? Matter of fact, I'm gonna turn to it. Hebrews chapter 8. It says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds. I will write them in their heart. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." And verse 12, "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquities. I will remember no more." Where is it in their need for repentance? Because when you repent, you turn. If you don't turn, then how can you? If you've turned and you go back, then how can you come back out of it? That's what the scriptures here say, if you go on and read 4 through 6. So when you look at this, God is not saying that if you unsaved, you don't need to repent. What God is saying is that if you saved and you've been working in the kingdom, then there's no need of repentance. If you fall down, would you just get up? Because godly sorrow worketh repentance. If you got sorrow in your heart, amen. Now you can't abide in sin. It's a whole nother story if you doing the same thing. Oh, God gonna forgive me. I'm gonna fall down. You playing with God. Don't do that. I'm closing. Listen to what it says. Faith toward God. At what point do you need to stop considering whether or not God gonna do what he say he gonna do? We what? Believe. We receive when we pray. So that issue should be dead with you. But if that's still an issue with you, honey child, keep working. We ain't against you. Keep working. The doctrines of baptism and laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead. This comes a time and a point where we know that when we leave here, we're going to be transitioning. Amen. I spent some time with somebody just the other day. I'm like, it come a time and a point where you need to be worshiping God instead of having a pity party. And it hurts. Yes, it hurts. But if we believe this, then this is what we need to do. Kingdom connections. Amen. I want you to know that God has placed in you, amen, every single thing you need to have a kingdom connection. You cannot have a kingdom connection abiding in the religion that you grew up in. Oh, I know that's tough. Because the religion that you grew up in taught you just to clap, wave your hands, shout, dress up, come in. But I don't see nobody running around kicking chairs. I don't see nobody on their knees. It's flow hard. Bring your pillow. I don't know about you, but I got to get mine. This ain't no game. We got sons and daughters on the street, sons and daughters in jail. We got relationships are being destroyed. We got stuff going on. We got hurricanes. We got earthquakes. We got pestilence. We got folk messing with babies. We got folk even raping their grandmothers now. It's time to stop playing. Time has wound up. A month seems like a week. And a week seems like one day. But God said that he was going to wound time. Do you know that God got time like this? And he's just squeezing it. Do you know time was created for you? And time is one of the things that you have dominion over? That's another message. Read my book. You have dominion over it. You ain't got. There are things that you have put yourself in a box. God wants to do crazy things here. God wants to. Let me tell you something. It's not in Pastor Derry and in Pastor Tammy. God wants to release in you. All your pastors have to do is have the faith to allow it to flow, that the portals of heaven would open up and allow, hallelujah, there's a level in heaven. Everything that is for you was done in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 27. God's not making up nothing new for you, but it's in a realm that you got to climb to. You got to be able to reach to and pull those things back out of one realm into this realm. But you can't do it if you still worried about being saved. You still worried about, you know, trying to get to the water cooler at the same time Miss Fine get there. Yeah, ain't nobody do that here. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The revelation of Jesus Christ unto perfection. God desires that we would move into perfection. None of what God is revealing in this hour was I taught in school, in Bible class, in seminary books. None of it. Because there were seasons for everything. This is a season he already told you, I'm going to pour out my spirit. Didn't he not say that? Try me and see when I open up the windows of heaven and pour. Didn't he not say that? When are we going to believe what God says? You got to position yourself to receive it. You already paying the price. Why don't you surrender? Why don't you surrender full-heartedly? Give me some soft music, please. Can you play that song, Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here? Can I get the praise team? Keisha, can you help them? Come on, let's sing this. I'm not going to hold you. But I came here this morning not because Pastor Derry invited me, not because Sister Tammy invited me. I came here because I loved you. And I came here to tell you the truth. There's a level in you that you can't even imagine even exists. You don't even know. I didn't know I could write books. I wrote 3 books last year. I didn't even like school. I wrote 3 books last year and got about 10 more in my spirit that I'm going to write. I didn't know it was in me. But you know what I did? I surrendered my whole heart to God. Beyond being a pastor. Beyond being in church. We've got to go beyond. We've got to go. We got to take that next step. And I don't know how many of you have the faith to believe that there's something in the spirit realm that is so unimaginable for your life, but it's for this realm. Do you know that we are dual creatures? Yes. We are creatures that abide in the natural realm, but we were born flesh, spirit beings. So we have the ability to operate in 2 realms. In the spirit realm, we can reach up. Because it said that in there, I didn't read that scripture, but it said that they was going to give us the keys of the kingdom. Yeah. And everything that you what? Bind in heaven. That's the first thing that it said. It said everything that you bind in heaven. I'm here to tell you that there's nothing, nothing in this world that you should desire more than God. Nothing in this world. Hallelujah. Listen, my auntie died. I'm eulogizing her Tuesday. I had a cousin died in July. I've got an auntie that's sick now in D.C. This is no game. You need to understand, my mother is gravely ill. Amen. We need to stop playing with this. We need to really be able to walk in and the presence of God follow us everywhere we go. Yes. We need to walk on our job and have such an impact, not by opening our mouths, but by the Spirit that illuminates. Everywhere Jesus went, everywhere Paul went, everywhere Peter went, everywhere Moses went, when they walked in, Elijah went, when Enoch walked, hallelujah, everywhere they went, the illuminating presence of God was there. I want to open up this altar. We want to pray. Come on, praise team. Come on, come on. I want to pray for you. Who want to go to the next level? And let me tell you something. I could care less if you a pastor. I could care less if you a praise leader. I could care less if you a deacon. Your titles are holding you back. Your titles are strangling you. We need to go higher in God. We need to go higher in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on and cry out to God. Hallelujah, Lord. We love you. God, we love you and we worship you. We love you, Lord. Lord, I can't hold this back. You alone, God. Come on, open up your mouths. I need to hear that sound. That sound that's only between you and your God. Come on, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Come on and worship. Come on and worship. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, cry out. Cry out. Come on and cry out.
Your presence.
Come on and worship. Come on and worship. Come on and worship.
Oh,
you, Jesus. It's you, Jesus. We worship. Come on. Can't nobody say it like you. Come on and cry. Pastor Derry, I need your help.
Start praying.
Surrender, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Right now, God. Right now, God. Right now, God. Right now. Everything that has been stored up. Everything that has been hid, Lord God. Bring forth, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Right now, God. Release it now. Release that sound. Release that sound. Come on and worship. Come on, lift your voice up. Come on, lift your voice up. Say, we give you glory.
We give you glory.
We give you glory, Lord.
We give you praise.
We give you glory. Come on and worship him. We finna dismiss. But don't you leave here without giving God your all. Leave your heart here on the altar. We're about to dismiss and turn the service back over into the hands of Pastor Derry and Pastor Tammy. But I want you to do something for me today that you've never done before.
Yes.
Whatever you came to the altar for, I want you right now, I want you to lay down what you laid down, and I want you to hold on to what you came up here for.
Yes.
Now, what that entails is that it's more than an emotional appeal.
Yes.
Your emotions will not enable you to deal with what you got to deal with when you leave here.
Thank you, Lord.
Because the Bible says when he talked about the sower, he sowed indiscriminately. but that the enemy came to try to steal that which was sown.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. Your faith, yeah, not the pastor's faith, not nobody else's faith, but your faith enables you to do great things. Say this all over the building. Say, my faith
enables me
to do great things. Not because of me, but because of who's in me.
Greater is he
that is in me
than he
that is in the world. When you were created, listen to this. You were created a spirit being in the likeness of God, the image and likeness of God that never went away. God has always been in you. Amen. Read Matthew chapter 17.
Yes.
Jesus said, I and the Father in me, and then that we are in him as one.
Yes.
I can only give you what the Bible says. You need to understand who's in you.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Let's give God some praise now. Come on. Let's give God some praise. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Woo!
Amen, amen, amen. Was that the word or what?
Praise God, and thanks for listening to this message by our guest pastor, Ron Nelson. For more information about Abundant Life Worship Center, feel free to check out our website at alwc.us. On our site, you'll find more information about us, our church and events calendar, and other messages that may be of interest to you. Once again, the site is alwc.us. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/abundantlifeworship.net. God bless, and we look forward to seeing you on our next podcast. Until then, remember that Jesus came to give you life, and that more abundantly.